Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. On today's program, we're going to be listening to singer-songwriters that specialize in the art of three-part harmony. Let's get started with Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter Yarrow, Paul Stuckey, and Mary Travers. That was from their 1967 album entitled 1700, and that was Bob Dylan's Dream. So Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, they were down there in the village. They released their first album in 1962, and they were so instrumental in bringing the music of a lot of different songwriters into the public attention. They were very critical in bringing Bob Dylan's music into the mainstream. And so by the time they recorded that song, Bob Dylan's Dream, in 1967, Dylan already had his own international career going on. But they certainly had an ability to take a song like that and to weave it into their style and their three-part harmony. A couple of programs ago, I did a special on singing duos. And we listened to the music of Seals and Crofts, of the Everly Brothers, of Simon and Garfunkel. And, you know, when you think about the idea of singers performing, instead of singing in a solo situation, when you have people singing in a duet or in a trio, it changes the way that they perform. They have to be as aware of the other voices as they are of their own voice. And there's a certain interplay that happens. There's a certain magical energy when people can combine that awareness together to sing music. So the idea of three-part harmony. You know, there was a lot of precedent in folk music specifically for that type of group. You know, we've got the Kingston Trio, the Weavers. You know, maybe you're familiar with that kind of music. Well, that's where Peter, Paul, and Mary really got their style from. And the thing that's fascinating when you think about three-part harmony versus two-part harmony, three-part harmony gives you a lot more opportunity for different vocal arrangements. When you think of Simon and Garfunkel or the Everly Brothers, they are both singing all the time. You know, it's thirds, it may be, you know, but they're singing the same words in the same rhythm most of the time. When you put three people into a vocal arrangement, it suddenly changes the way. It gives a lot more variety to the way that the harmony is handled. So Peter, Paul, and Mary, throughout their entire career, they always sang as a trio. It's an amazing sound. When you hear two people singing, you can always identify the voices. And it's also true in a trio. You can still, because there's only three singers, you can still identify who's singing what. And I think once you get above that, where you get like a four or five people singing, it turns into a choir. And it becomes much harder to identify individual voices. But Peter, Paul, and Mary, because of the fact that also it's a woman and two men singing, you can so clearly hear the different timbres, the different sounds of their voices as they weave together. So I thought it would be really nice to listen to a couple of more examples of their art. We heard Bob Dylan's Dream. You know, Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded songs by such an amazing variety of songwriters. They did songs by Pete Seeger and, of course, Bob Dylan, Richard Farina, Fred Neil, and Laura Nyro. Laura Nyro, actually, they recorded her song, And When I Die, before she had even released her first album. And there's a special energy they bring to this song. So from their 1966 album, Peter, Paul, and Mary, we'll hear Laura Nyro's song, And When I Die. And then after that, we'll hear an original composition by Peter Yarrow called The Great Mandela, The Wheel of Life. And that's from an album they released the following year in 1967 called 1700. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And when I die, and when I'm dead, dead and gone, there'll be one child born and a world to carry on. There'll be one child to carry on. I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care if it's peace of finding dying. Well, then let the time be near. If it's peace of finding dying, well,
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life." Tell the jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr, he thinks he's a prophet, but he's a coward, he's just playing a game. He can't do it, he can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life. Tell the are safe now. Hunger stopped him, he lies still in his cell. Death has gagged his accusations. We are free now, we can kill.
Beautiful, moving anti-war song by Peter Yarrow, sung by Peter, Paul, and Mary on their 1967 album, 1700. And right before that, we heard a Laura Nyro's song, "And When I Die." So, you know, I'm spinning a lot of vinyl for you today. And one of the things I love about having vinyl is, you know, they've reissued so many things on CD, but when you get the CD, you don't get the liner notes. Oftentimes on a CD, they don't even tell you who the composers are. But I'm sitting here looking at this Peter, Paul, and Mary album, and I just noticed a little detail, which is kind of pretty mind-blowing for me. This album was produced by Al Grossman, who I'm assuming is Albert Grossman, who is their manager, hardly a musical producer. And the chief engineer on this album is a Mr. Phil Ramone. Whoa. Phil Ramone went on to be a major producer in his own right, all those Paul Simon albums and everything. So anyway, Peter, Paul, and Mary, beautiful, the beautiful art of three-part harmony, and also in the tradition of folk music, the social commentary, the passionate delivery of deep beliefs, and delivered with the energy of their three voices in some exquisite vocal arrangements. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So the idea of three-part harmony, today's program is in no way a definitive overview. I just want to draw your attention to the art of the way that these singers use their voices together and what a magical effect it is. Peter, Paul, and Mary, Peter Yarrow and Paul Stuckey were songwriters in their own right. But the next band that I want to feature on today's program, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Each one of them was a genius songwriter in their own right. And, you know, every time I look into the story and the history of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I always find out some new piece of information, which is just always really interesting. So I don't know if you know the story. You probably do. We just heard an album from 1967, and in 1967, about that time, you've got the Buffalo Springfield out on the West Coast. You know, Peter, Paul, and Mary are Greenwich Village. Out in California on the West Coast, there's another music scene going on simultaneously, also in kind of a folk tradition, but with a West Coast flavor to it. So you've got Buffalo Springfield, right, with Stephen Stills. Well, they break up. And you've got the Byrds with David Crosby, and they break up. So Stills and Crosby start hanging out, and they start jamming, okay? And things were pretty tense in those two bands when they broke up. So Crosby and Stills, they get invited to a party, and the story differs if it was Mama Cass Elliott's house or if it was Joni Mitchell's house. But there's Crosby and Stills, and they're working on a song, and Graham Nash from the Hollies, the British band, is there, and they sing together for the first time, and once they sang together, that was it. They knew they had it. Once they sang together, they became Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And the reason that they used all three of their names in the title of the band is so that the band could not break up and continue. Because their names were part of the band, if anyone left the band didn't exist anymore. And they kind of did that as an antidote to the experiences that they'd had breaking up from the Springfield and the Byrds. Anyway, so when you have three really brilliant songwriters like David Crosby, Stephen Stills, and Graham Nash, you know, it's really magic what happens. And they released their debut album in May of 1969. And on this album, Stephen Stills plays practically every instrument except for the drums, which is Dallas Taylor. And the magical arrangements that they arrive at for their three-part harmony became such a signature part of their music that through their entire career, every time that they would record together, some unusual harmony things would happen. And I love the sounds of their voices. Let's listen to some tracks from the Crosby, Stills, and Nash 1969 debut album. Let's start with a Stephen Stills composition called Helplessly Hoping. And then a Crosby, Stills composition called Wooden Ships. And as you're listening to this music, you've heard this music before, you'll notice that Graham Nash has always got the top harmony part, and Crosby and Stills sometimes switch a little bit. And the thing that's similar to this and similar to Peter, Paul, and Mary is that when you've got three voices, what happens a lot is there's a lot of solo lines going on. And then the other two voices harmonize on the chorus, Or you have them harmonizing in triads, you know, where they're singing, all three voices singing the chord in parallel motion together. Well, helplessly hoping you're going to hear that parallel motion, and in Wooden Ships, you're going to hear that soloistic effect. So listen to it from that perspective. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Helplessly Hoping.
Helplessly hoping, her harlequin hovers nearby, awaiting a word, gasping at glimpses of gentle true spirit. He runs, wishing he could fly, only to trip at the sound of goodbye. Wordlessly watching, he waits by the window and wonders at the empty place inside. Heartlessly helping himself to her bad dreams, he worries, did he hear a goodbye? Or even hello? Two alone, they are three together, they are for each other. Stand by the stairway, you'll see something certain to tell you. Confusion has its cause. Love isn't lying, it's loose in a lady who lingers, saying she is lost and choking on hello. They are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are for each other.
Silver on the shoreline, let us be.
talking about very free and easy. As we watch you die, all we can do is echo your anguish cries. Stare as all human feelings die. We are leaving, you don't need sister, then by the hand, lead her away from this foreign land, far away where we'll not laugh again. We are leaving, you don't need
south on my shoulder. Guess I'll set a course and go.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That's a Crosby, Stills composition called Wooden Ships. And you know, that's an interesting subject matter. I've always wondered, you know, you could think about that maybe that was after the Civil War. You know, say, can I have some of your purple berries? And I can see you're from the other side. Tell me who won. Or you could maybe think that it was from a futuristic time. Beautiful three-part harmony. You'll notice in that song, for instance, that they would split up the lines of poetry, like one person says silver and the next person says people, and then they say together on the shoreline. All these amazing vocal arrangements that they do, and yet you still understand the distinctive nature of each of their voices. Such a brilliant thing, such a brilliant thing. And as I said, you know, Stephen Stills is playing almost all the instruments except the drums. And one of the things I found out in my research on Crosby, Stills, and Nash is that, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Stephen Stills were really good friends. And Jimi Hendrix had invited Stephen Stills to be the bass player in his band called The Experience. And Stephen Stills' manager never gave him the message. So in a way, you know, it turned out good for us because of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But I just can't help but wonder what would have happened if Hendrix and Stills had ended up in the same band. Just unbelievable. So let's hear one more song from Crosby, Stills, and Nash debut album. This album was released in May of 1969, and this is probably the most famous three-part harmony song that I know, and I bet you recognize it because you know it too. This song is a Stephen Stills composition, and he wrote it about his romantic involvement at the time with a beautiful singer, a Miss Judy Collins. This is Stephen Stills' composition, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it
hard. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
Babe, have mercy.
Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not leaving.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it
hard.
Tearing yourself away from me now. You are free. I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever. Yes, and for always.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it
hard. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Here is the lock and left of the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard. What have I got to lose?
will you come see me? Thursdays and Saturdays.
Hey, hey, hey.
What have you got to lose?
Chestnut, brown, canary, ruby-throated sparrow, sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the marrow. Voices of the angels ring around the moonlight, asking me, said she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow? Lacy lilting Larry, losing love, love, and change my life, make it right, be my lady.
By Stephen Stills, Crosby, Stills, and Nash from their 1969 debut album. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, award-winning hydro-powered radio. All right, today we're listening to The Art of Three-Part Vocal Harmony, and we started our program with a quintessential sound of Peter, Paul, and Mary, really continuing in a folk tradition, you know, that came out of the Weavers and the Kingston Trio. Well, when Crosby, Stills, and Nash picked it up, they did their own take on three-part harmony, and I think they brought that genre to an incredible peak, you know, if you listen to how they did their arrangements. And, you know, I said I found out interesting things about Crosby, Stills, and Nash. One of the other things I found out, which I had never heard before, when they first formed the band and they were shopping around for a record label, Crosby, Stills, and Nash auditioned for the Beatles' Apple label, and they failed the audition. You know, it makes you think of John Lennon on the roof when they did the, you know, I hope we pass the audition. Well, Crosby, Stills, and Nash failed the audition at Apple, but they got signed to Atlantic Records, and then they released the album that we just heard in 1969. So that was May 1969 when that album was released. And a month prior to that, in April of 1969, the Beatles began recording in Abbey Road what would be their final recordings as a band. And I've read, you know, that they were aware of the fact that things were winding down and they wanted to do a really good album. And when I listen to Abbey Road and I hear the way they put their energies together, there's really something magical. When they sing the Lennon and McCartney composition, Because, and John and Paul and George put their three voices together in that kind of harmony, there's just something, just chills me to the bone, gives me goosebumps to hear it. You know, when the Beatles started out in the early 60s, they were really all about the singing. Nobody paid a lot of attention to the way they played their music. And over time, as they continued to develop as songwriters, on a lot of their albums, they stopped doing so much of the singing duo things. You know, the Beatles' first hits, John Lennon and Paul McCartney sang harmony together throughout the entire song in a lot of their early hits, most of their first four albums anyway, three or four albums. And then they started doing more soloistic things. Well, in Abbey Road, they come back together. And it's so beautiful to hear this song, you know, Because the World is Round, It Turns Me On. And Because the Wind is High, It Blows My Mind. The Beatles, three-part harmony. Beatles, Because, the beautiful three-part harmony of John, Paul, and George singing together. So, you know, the Beatles broke up in 1970, and it seems like, you know, the demise of the Beatles, we lost so much when we lost them, but in reality, music was continuing to be performed and composed. And it just took a little while. I think a lot of the energy maybe went into underground and broke off into different genres. And three-part harmony, today's program, is about three-part harmony. And the bands we've been listening to so far all of the people in the bands are songwriters individually. Peter Yarrow, Paul Stuckey, David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nashional, they all wrote songs, Lennon and McCartney. Back in America, in the West Coast, up in the San Francisco Bay Area, there's a man named Dan Hicks, quintessential American songwriter. And one of the signature things about Dan Hicks, he recorded his first album in the early 1970. One of the quintessential things about Dan Hicks is his vocal arrangements. And when he first started to compose, he also specialized in a really unique and recognizable brand of three-part harmony. Now, the difference in Dan Hicks is that Dan Hicks is the songwriter. He's the main lead singer. And the backup singers are called two women called the Hot Licks. So it's Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. But the way that they put their vocal harmonies together is astounding. And I wanted to play some of the music from an album that was recorded live at the Troubadour, if you're familiar with that club out in California. This was recorded live at the Troubadour in February of 1971. And the album is called Where's the Money? And this is Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. So, you know, we've listened to a variety of different harmony styles. Listen to the way these people put their voices together. The other signature thing about Dan Hicks is it's completely acoustic. There are no electric instruments. It's a stand-up bass, you know, it's a mandolin, it's a violin, and it's a brilliant sound. This is West Coast, San Francisco, American music. Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. First, we'll start with News from Up the Street, and then the title track, Where's the Money?
This is one of our mood numbers. It's a kind of a love story about, it's about 3 minutes long. Now, it's about a guy who really digs this girl, you know, a certain kind of girl. We can all identify with that. And he digs this girl so much that he don't know what to say to her. And he writes her a little note that he puts in the mail. And he hopes that she gets it. So that's the story. You get it?
Someone waiting to hear from. Ride your pony in. Take my letter, you know I'm waiting to get some news from up the street. She's people I like to meet. News from up the street. She's people I like to meet. One in particular must give my letter so she'll know that I live here. And read those words that were written from my heart. If only I could hear some news from up the street. She's people I like to meet. News from up the street. She's people I like to meet. She's people I'd like to meet. If only you'd deliver it the letter I write. If only you'd deliver it the letter I write. If only you'd deliver it the letter I deliver it. The letter I
just got to hear from. I wrote her a letter, and when she gets it, I know she'll answer it. I'll be feeling much better. And when she gets it, I know she'll answer it. That's the way that I wrote it. So ride your pony and take my letter here. I'll be looking and hoping for news from up the street. She's people I'd like to meet. News from up the street. She's people I'd like to meet. She's people I would like to meet. If only you
deliver it, the letter I deliver it, the letter I deliver it, the letter I write, the letter I write, the letter I write.
An Indian girl once said, while making Indian cornbread, the eagle flies, take a hiss, and buys and goes.
Keep moving,
keep moving. And said, cracking Big Bob,
keep
moving, was on
keep
a heavy job.
Keep moving.
He heard a noise, said, come on, both let's go.
Keep moving,
keep moving,
keep moving.
The horse was
keep
in a race,
keep
he could win, show our place.
Keep
he came in first from out of third. It's like you've seen a cop, and you don't exactly want to stop. It's a motion, lotion that makes you want to go.
Keep moving,
keep moving,
keep moving, keep moving with the motion that'll make you wanna go. Keep moving with the motion that'll make you wanna get in your robot and row.
A truck driver once said,
keep
I've got a sleepy head.
Keep
he took a pill and had the will.
I'm Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. I hope you've enjoyed today's program, Three-Part Harmony. If you'd like to get in touch, please drop me a line at nowandthen@wjffradio.org. Thank you so much for listening.